Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm ready to go. Yeah, you're not. Welcome back to Biff, a podcast about superhero TV shows, movies, and expanded universes. My name is Dan Morin, and I am joined, as always, by John Maltz. Hi, John.
Dan, my understanding is that two of the three hosts today are well slept, and I think it'll be an interesting experiment to see if our readers can figure out which ones are.
I wonder if using the phrase "well slept" yeah. will be a clue.
Well rested, I guess, is probably the right phrase.
Nailed it. Here, Guy English. Hi, Guy. How you doing?
Pretty good. I do have a note here, though. This episode of Biff is brought to you by The Rebound. An irreverent technology show by some of my really good friends. And each week you can tune in to hear topics such as Dan making fun of me for texting him too much, and Dan calling me lazy for not doing ad reads on Biff anymore. So, yeah, it's a great show. Check it out. Really lovely gag.
I have no memory of that.
Yeah.
It's been a while since we had a sponsor. That's great. Yeah. I'm glad we're back.
Yeah. All it took was you calling me lazy to your.
I'm going to notice that you took our money to pay ourselves. I did. So I also have some questions about that, but we'll move on.
He does know you listen to this.
I know. It's fun. Anyway. Yeah.
Well, here we are. We're back. We still don't have regularly scheduled coverage, but we have some stuff to talk about because this past week, the new co-CEO of DC Studios, one James Gunn, perhaps you've heard of him, has taken to the internet to basically lay out the entire roadmap for like the upcoming DCU, the rebooted DCU, including both the movies that are already scheduled to come out, as well as what's next on the development slate. And I guess we're going to run down and talk about a lot of those decisions and the stuff that he has spilled the beans on.
Did you guys just wish that he'd asked everybody to like and subscribe at the end of like that was a very
smash that like button.
It was a very my first YouTube style video.
He does look a little bit like if Rene Ritchie had just like spiked his hair. There's a vibe.
Yeah.
There's a vibe.
Yeah. That's good.
I liked it very much. You know,
and
like I said, it's nice to see an adult talking adultly about the DCU. It's nice to see that they have some sort of a plan that they are going forward with, and somebody's making decisions. So
it's cool that they also just sort of laid it out, right?
Yep.
I mean, Marvel does this from time to time with some of its phases, right? Every few years, they'll be like, here's our slate. Here's what we're doing over the next several years. And, but it's like, that's like a big presentation to investors, and Kevin Feige's up on stage and he brings out guests and whatever. And like, this is just James Gunn talking into a camera. But it was like, you know, it was a little bit, it felt a little bit low budget to me, but I also appreciated that because it felt very like genuine, I guess is the right word. Like, he's like, hey guys, I'm just super into this. Let me just tell you. It's like, it could be any YouTuber rolling out their plan for like, so this is what I would do with the DC universe. Only this guy is actually in charge of it.
Yeah.
I kind of liked it. I think like I said to you guys at the time, if you can't have like a big whiz bang presentation, don't try it. You know what I mean? Like just deliver it like this. I think it was a good idea to sort of get out ahead of like, people coming up with their own speculation. And like one of the worst things that fandom does, and it's getting more and more across more and more fields, is like create their own mythology of what should be and what is in fact. And then when that is not realized, they're mad at the creators who did something different. And it's not that they did something different. It's just they did what they were going to do. And like your expectations have not been met because you've been so up in your own head about what's going to happen. So I think this was smart. It's been how many months? Like 5 months, maybe? Kind of.
If that.
Yeah.
I think
not too long.
Less, yeah.
So it makes sense for him to be like, okay, I got my ducks in a row. I kind of know what shape and size each duck is going to be. Let's go tell people that and like nip any weirdness in the bud, or try to at least.
I think one of the cool things about this too is the fact that all due respect to Kevin Feige, who I think is a great architect, of the MCU. James Gunn's actually a writer and director, which is kind of fascinating, right? Because like he is someone on the ground actually writing these scripts and directing these movies, which is just, it's a different take from the way that Marvel does stuff. And I think that's fine. But it's also refreshing at times to see someone who is, you know, directly tied to the source material and the output in a way that Marvel has not to date done that. And again, not that Kevin Feige doesn't have a lot of influence as a producer, but, you know, he's usually not the one in the writer's room, like, hammering out a script, right? He might come in and say, like, this is the shape of what we're doing, or here's some ideas or whatever, but he's not hunched over his typewriter, like, pounding out
words. I get the sense that they have, or at least he is, if not a one-person version of it, like the Lucasfilm story group, where they try to keep everything... Could you explain that, Dan? I forget. I mean,
yeah,
I've seen The Office. It's just awesome. It's in ILM, and you're not allowed down that corridor. It's like, like, don't go down
group
there.
It's the group of people who basically maintain continuity within the Star Wars universe to make sure kind of everything lines up. And they've been around for a long time. I mean, it's a little bit, you know, for our Apple-loving friends, I feel like it's a Steve Jobs-ish role of...
That's where I was going.
I get to oversee everything, and even if I'm not doing, like, the, like, hammering away at, like, specific...
I don't know what you're talking about. Boards? My understanding was that Steve Jobs did all the soldering.
He did all the soldering. God.
Oh, there's the flip side to that, which is like Woz did everything and Steve Jobs is totally useless. Like, God.
Right.
Anyway, there's a lot of stuff talked about here. So the upcoming projects that are still in the works are Shazam, Fury of the Gods, which a trailer did drop for and I watched, and I have to say, I was not blown away by that trailer. There was a lot of punching and yelling in it, and I was not like, did not feel like it really hit the what I liked about the first movie. So
I tried to watch. Yeah. I'm mad at you, not just for the reasons enumerated at the top of the top of the show. I've got a whole
so many reasons.
I've got a notebook full of these things. I tried to watch not Shazam, the second
Black Adam
on the plane last night.
Why?
Yeah, I had an awesome seat. Like, it was really cool. It was like a big screen, whatever. I got like a fancy upgrade. Who cares? That's irrelevant. Well, but it was actually a nicer experience, viewing experience, than just regular airplane seat back kind of thing. Still stank. I mean, I did fall asleep because it was a red eye, but man, it was, the acting.
I told you it wasn't great.
Oh, man. We have to talk about your definition of not great, because there's a lot of room under not great.
As I recall, Dan warned. Wholeheartedly recommended that movie to us, right?
That is not... I think we could go to the audio tape.
Well, guess who's in charge of the audio tapes, buddy?
Son of a...
Anyway, it was a stinker. I did fall asleep, so maybe it's better, but like the acting was stilted.
No,
everything
not.
Was just kind of garbage. Pierce Brosnan's handsome. Then I fell asleep. Yep.
If that's the best thing you can say about the movie.
And I liked the kid who played Atom Smasher, and that was about it.
Yeah, I didn't really get to that part. I got to the part where Aldous, oh my God, what's his last name?
Aldous Hodge. Who is fantastic and amazing and totally squandered.
Exactly. Yeah, he felt cool. He suits up in his little Hawkman outfit. That was pretty cool. I liked that he was kind of the leader of the team.
But he doesn't have any character.
He doesn't do anything except for that.
Yeah.
And he does one thing, that he jumps out of their helicarrier, whatever the heck it is. Their hawk jet.
I don't know. I have no idea what it is.
Without his gear, and then Iron Man's onto him. There was just a lot of stuff there that was not particularly inspired. So, whatever.
Yep.
Anyway, enough of that.
So Shazam 2, amazingly, and James Gunn, I assume there was not somebody off screen, you know, with placards and a gun, but he talked up The Flash, as a great movie.
Yeah. I have a feeling they need that thing to succeed. And the way
I think so too,
they've put so much money into it, and what's he going to say? Like, this.
Yeah, right. I know. He can't say, well, you know, this one's going to be a stinker, but then the next ones are going to be good.
Yeah.
Well, and even if it's a good movie, he can't, like, they also can't throw their star under the bus at this point, who is attempted to throw themselves under a bus.
Yeah.
You know, you're tied to that anchor, and you better make the best of it, I guess.
Yeah, and so he did sort of talk it up as, like, almost the linchpin. What does he say? It's going to reset the DCU.
Yeah, and I think there have been a lot of rumors about this being sort of a flashpoint take of resetting everything, which is kind of what they need to start anew anyways.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
it would almost have to at this point, even if the original one, if the original story and all that didn't quite reset it the way they want. Time to go back with Viola Davis and a bunch of other people and just do reshoots and get whatever it is you need to sort of make that make sense for the new
lay the groundwork
stuff.
Yeah. So we got that. They've got Blue Beetle, which has been in the works, which I'm kind of excited about. It's the Jaime Reyes version.
Yeah.
Who I enjoy. And
I don't really know much.
Second...
I mean, the only Blue Beetle that I've ever read was it part of Justice League. You know, I never read a separate Blue Beetle title.
The one in Young Justice, I feel like he has a good story arc.
Yeah, that's Jaime Reyes.
Because he's sort of tied with a lot of the stuff, the aliens.
Season 2, they kind of do fun stuff for them. He's like the linchpin almost of that season.
Yeah, exactly. He's pretty integral to that story, and I think he's fun in that. And then there's the second Aquaman movie, which again, something else that they are pretty tied to.
I know it did well, and it's not offensive. I don't have a beef with it. Yeah. It's just not for me, really.
It's just not great. Yeah. But it's fine.
I think it's not. I think it's not good, but
it's better than Black Adam, probably.
I haven't seen Black Adam, so you know, just
guy can back me up on that. I think so. Probably
your strong recommendation.
Dear God. I also appreciated that he basically like out and out answered the like, well, what are we doing about things like the Batman and Joker by saying they will just have an Elseworlds.
First thing he said.
Kind of tag.
He's like, hi, I'm James Gunn. I'm co-boss.
Let's talk about Elseworlds.
Yeah. He listed that and Joker, the second Joker, which has Lady Gaga in it, apparently. And
it's going to be a musical.
Makes me interested.
I mean,
did
I'm
you
not,
see the first
I
one?
I still have not seen the you first one. No.
Me neither.
I don't have any desire to see the first one.
I don't really either, but people keep talking about it.
People talk about lots of stuff.
Yeah,
it's fair. I felt like a lot of the things, there was a large narrative at the time about how, I don't know how to put this, people seeing politics in it that they wanted to see, and I can't tell if that's something that was intentional by the makers or something that just people were like glomming onto because they felt like it confirmed their beliefs, but it didn't make me eager to see it.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
I had already seen like the 70s Scorsese stuff that it was kind of based on, or inspired by, let's say. I don't know. I just didn't feel like a need for it. I think. Because, the world is always kind of not great these days, but then particularly, I was not looking for superhero shows or movies that would make me think more about the current state of affairs. I was eager for more escapist fare, effectively.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Taking a villain, too, and especially a villain like the Joker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, the second one I'm interested in.
We've talked about this a lot before. I mean, my big problem is always I love him in The Dark Knight, where he basically won't tell you his backstory because he keeps lying about it. I didn't need or want a backstory for the Joker.
I agree. Yeah.
But I appreciate that they're doing the Elseworlds angle because this is exactly what we talked about with the Batman, which is having an idea. If you've got like a vision for I want to tell this story and it's got Batman in it, but I don't care about it connecting it to anything else, I like that there's an option to just be like, yeah, you go do that over there. Like that is one thing that it's harder to envision Marvel doing in its current state. Like, yes, it has What If, which has always been essentially Marvel's version. You know, Elseworlds is DC's version of What If and vice versa. But it's still very constrained to the stories they want to tell. And in some ways, this would have helped some of the, I feel like if they could have stamped like something like, What If on all the Spider properties that Sony's churning out to try and capitalize on Spider-Man, everybody would be a lot more clear on things.
Yeah.
But I think that's cool that they're,
yeah, it'll sort be interesting. That's true. I mean, like, it's going to be interesting now to realize that Marvel's is going to be less well explained than DC's.
Yeah, exactly. In addition to that, we've got he rolls out a huge slate of new stuff that they're working on, which includes, I think, several new movies, a new Superman movie.
Yeah, what are our feelings on that? It's not Man of Tomorrow, right? But it's
Legacy. Legacy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't either. I don't know. Sounds good. I mean,
the pitch was, or at least the explanation I think he gave, was that Superman is a wholesome guy in a cynical world. And I can like that idea. Yeah. That is a great way to do Superman. I hope the world isn't too cynical. Like, I don't want everybody to be a jackass, but I like the Christopher Reeve version, or the you sent one of my favorite shots of Superman ever, which is the Tyler Hoechlin.
Yeah,
help me out. Yeah.
In the very beginning of Superman and Lois.
Yeah,
right. That first episode where he's
got like the black crest
backstory
on.
For him, and they put him in the original Superman outfit where he's
My mom made it for me.
Catches the car and
my mom made it. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Saves the kid. Yeah. Is that great?
I love it. And Brandon Routh also had a pretty wholesome Superman in a movie.
Yeah. Sure.
You know.
Yeah.
Even I like your point about the Christopher Reeve too. Like even that, because it was translated into the 70s,
yeah.
And it was like, you know, it felt very much like he was a character from another time period to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And that was fine.
Yeah. Certainly, the newsroom at the Planet had a vibe from All the President's Men type thing. But like,
yeah. Sure. Yeah,
so, Guy, you and I did an episode where we talked about Ted Lasso.
Yes.
And I think we mentioned in that, I mean, I think we compared him to Superman.
We did, yeah.
I'd like to imagine that we did. Let's just pretend that we did.
Our thin excuse to, yeah.
But, like, I could imagine, you know, sort of a Ted Lasso type.
Yeah.
Storyline where you know, it is a cynical world, and then here comes this guy who's got superpowers, but he's also like his real superpower is his heart.
I would love that. So yeah. That would be amazing. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I think for both the Brandon Routh one and the certainly the Christopher Reeve one, we have repeatedly said that like in neither of those does he actually fight anybody. Okay, I guess Brandon Routh gets stabbed, but like that, he's not like zapping anybody with laser beams. He's not like beating up a space alien. That's, you know, he just flies around real quick, trying to save as many people as he possibly can. Which is,
I think there's a little bit of a fight at the end of Superman 2, but it's not much of a fight because he's Superman 2 also has that, like, there's that scene in the diner. It's a little
Superman 2's. I loved it as a kid. Because Superman getting thrown into a Coca-Cola
like
sign,
I still like it.
But it's the first one is impeccable.
One is
I just love it so much.
Better,
yeah. And I, whatever, it does bug me that people make fun of him flying backwards and type. But whatever, just who cares?
Yeah.
So we've got So I appreciated you. I think Guy, was it your link to or John who sent the link to like all the comics covers?
I think that was John.
That James Gunn.
Oh, maybe it was me.
Posted.
It was me.
All the runs basically that were inspiring it from like a tonal standpoint, which I thought again was a really nice way to do it. And a lot of these are Grant Morrison penned comics, I think.
Yeah.
At least a couple of them.
Yeah. So we'll get to it when we get to the Batman one. But yeah, quite a number of them are very good writers. Kind of thing. I mean, which kind of makes sense. What are you going to do? Pick like the runs that stink. But
the run they're talking about for Superman is All Star Superman.
Crappy, the crappy runs that are my inspiration.
The Superman run is All Star Superman,
which is terrific, by the way.
I've never read.
Oh man,
but
it's good.
I'm trying to remember if I read that. I gotta.
Wow, this is a. I'm starting reading the Wikipedia because this is what I'm doing. The series revolves around Superman, who is dying due to overexposure to the sun as he accomplishes many heroic feats and attempt to make peace with the world before his imminent death.
It is amazing. It is, I swear to God, just... I don't read a lot of Superman comics because, again, Superman, kind of boring. He's like Captain America. If you write him well, amazing. But he's got a level of difficulty. He's got a level of difficulty there that's, you know, unenviable. Give him to Grant Morrison, and guess what? It's amazing. It's a really, really good story. I think he saves a satellite that's flying into like a space station that's about to crash into the sun somehow, and he gets over-irradiated, and he's basically disintegrating from the inside out kind of thing. And he sort of goes around trying to not make amends, but he tries to do final great good deeds kind of thing. And, you know, there's a great part where he's chatting with Luther in jail. as Clark Kent kind of thing. It's just really good. It's just, I recommend it to anybody. And if they're going to adapt that, I love it. I'd
suggest to me that they're not adapting directly the storyline.
No, but the vibe.
Like said, the tone. Just like, Right,
because he mentions a younger Superman too.
Yeah,
he's like he's sort of starting out. Which, and again, they wanna turn that into a franchise.
Yes.
So they're not gonna kill him.
Right.
No,
but it's interesting that I guess because they have the Elseworlds Batman. Well, we're gonna get to Batman, but they're gonna do an older Batman and a younger Superman.
Which makes sense. I think.
Sure. Yeah.
I think that was one of the.
That's fine.
Okay, that was one of the things that was most promising in the. I think the. Zack Snyder take was having a more world-weary Batman dealing with a newer Superman. I think that dynamic could have been interesting. It was woefully mishandled.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, so speaking of which, we also have, as you said, Batman, The Brave and the Bold, which is interesting because the adaptation they're talking about with that is not, I mean, The Brave and the Bold was a, I feel like I associate that more. There was an animated series.
Yes.
Version of Batman, The Brave and the Bold, which is more comedic, right? Yeah. I kind of associate
it's a
with
team
that,
up show. Like him and Ollie go do wacky hijinks, or Aquaman. At one point, Aquaman drives across the U.S. in a Winnebago. It's pretty fun. It's goofy. It's fun.
But I gather not that. What they're adapting directly. This seems to be related more to, Batman raising his son, Damian Wayne.
Yes.
Who is one of the Robins at one point. I know of his existence. I know a little bit about him, but I'm actually have never read anything with Damian Wayne in it.
So he is the son of Talia
Al
Ghul.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And Bruce Wayne. And
Bruce Wayne.
Yeah. Who I think... In the comics, when they go to show the romance thing, he's bare chested, but he's still got his cowl on because that's.
He's got a creed, man.
It's so funny.
I can only do it with the cowl.
Yeah,
there was so one of my friends.
That's a weird kink,
one
dude.
Of my one of my friends interned at DC in college, and I remember him telling me at the time that like Batman was not allowed to have sex. Like that was a Bible, you know, kind of note for DC Comics at that time. And that was 20 plus years ago.
Yeah.
So,
So
that has since been thrown out is my understanding. Cause it has definitely happened.
Yeah. Well, so the panel, there's bad stuff with Catwoman too, I think. Not bad, but, never mind. I'm not even going to talk about that stupid. There's an adaptation of The Killing Joke, which is somehow worse than the book. The book's good, but there's a scene in that that's like good. Even the writer is like
a lot of yes there's a
the
lot
writer's
of
like
very,
I wish I hadn't done that particular bit that like book, that sucked true. So anyway, but so that does seem interesting. I kind of so the Damian Wayne character is effectively raised as a ninja DJ, in fact.
Oh no.
and he's like a little killbot. And Talia, I forget what's happening to her, but anyway, she basically...
Yeah. Go live with your father, you're bothering me.
Type thing, or I'm dying. I forget what it is, but whatever.
I can't remember that part.
Yeah, who cares? Whatever. Go,
The character is revealed to have originally been intended to kill and replace his father, as well as serving as a host body for Ra's al Ghul.
Oh, that seems very League of Assassins.
Yep, sure does.
Okay, that makes sense. Well, big flashing red lights around making sense there. Anyway, the dynamic is interesting because rather than Batman being the scowling, angry guy and Robin being the gee whiz willikers kind of guy, it kind of has to invert it where Batman's trying to be like, would you just chill out a little bit? Like, don't be so intense about this stuff. Like, we're not going to kill anybody. We're going to sock them on the jaw and carry them off to jail kind of thing, which is a fun way to approach the characters that have been done 100 times with, like, most of the time, no matter what you do with the Robin, they are the lighthearted one, right? Even Dark Knight Returns, it's like, Carrie, I forget her last name, but was lighthearted, and that's the role of the character. And so this is an interesting way, at least, of changing that up. I think in the wrong hands, you just get a murderous kid with a katana, which is like,
I think it's a good point, though, because what's nice about it is that it puts it in contrast to the Batman that we have seen in more recent ones, right, where it's like he is more grim, and we've gotten a lot of grim Batman, so having a Batman who has to reel in somebody else's murdering, I feel like is promising.
Yeah. Christian Bale did crack a few jokes, at least to Alfred. Like, I like their their little banter was nice. But yeah, not a lot of humor in Batman these days. So that would be nice. And maybe that's the intent, is like, we've done angsty Batman way too much. Let's try to edge away from that while still giving fans what they want in forgetting the guy's name now, the Robert Pattinson version.
Matt Reeves.
Yeah. And B, it's not like he's going to be cracking. He's not going to be 1960s Batman. But
right, Adam West is unavailable.
Yeah, but it's a way of taking your foot off the gas a little bit on how angsty Batman can get. Right, is to cast him as the light in that sort of dynamic duo.
It's also interesting to run into like the Damian Wayne thing, because it does. If this is our introduction to this character in this version of the universe, it skips a lot of. Yeah. Previous stuff, like the Bat Family stuff, that is usually built before this point. Yep. So a lot of that, I guess, is happening off screen. And also, what I do appreciate about this as well is it assumes, I kind of think in the best tradition of more recent superhero movies, assume that everybody is familiar with the basic tenets. Like, we don't need to spend an hour explaining to you who Batman is and how he fell into a cave of bats and how he's angry about crime.
Bit by a radioactive bat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, well, we take that as red and move right along.
His bat planet exploded.
sent in a bat pod.
Yeah. Exploded into a cloud of bats.
Exactly.
Gets his power from the black bat. Sure.
I was looking through the Wikipedia entry on Damian Wayne trying to find the run that I read, but I remember a run of Batman and Robin, I believe it was. It's probably right down here. No, I think it's up in my office. Anyway, and it was Dick Grayson was Batman. Like, Batman was presumed dead. I think he was actually dead. And Dick Grayson was Batman, and then Damian was Robin. And that was a really good... I really enjoyed that run. I think that was Grant Morrison. Because... it was the, sort of the role reversal, right? Because Dick's the lighthearted one, and he's trying to be sort of the dad figure, and he's having a lot of difficulty, and Damien's just being a jerk.
Damien's a constant dick.
And not listening constantly, and so in that regard, he's kind of like, I think Dick was kind of like that too, right? I mean, he didn't listen a lot, but he wasn't a jerk, really.
Yeah, but that's that fun comeuppance of becoming a parent, right? It's like, oh,
yeah,
God,
yeah, yeah, right, do this, right.
That the that run appears to be Batman Reborn, which is by Grant Morrison.
I think it was before that. I think
there's another one before that called Batman RIP.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah,
Battle for the Cowl. Which
Dan, I have the Wikipedia entry open as well.
I just know this off the top of my head.
Do you know what? Maybe we can just slot an AI in here that will just read the Wikipedia entry to our listeners.
Why are we even here? Correspondent in the our intern.
Interestingly, some of that run was written by Paul Cornell, who has been on some Incomparable episodes.
Oh, cool! That's funny. That's awesome. I was just thinking because I watched. I rewatched James Gunn during his bit earlier, and I'm like, man, wouldn't it be fun if Anthony Johnson just got one of these? Then we'd know our guy. But that's cool. Right. That's cool that we got a connection.
Not that he would ever tell us anything.
Oh, absolutely. No. Yeah. He's a vault, Batman. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. So we've got Superman and Batman. Obviously, they're the big ones. We have to see that. We also have Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow.
Yeah. This one, John, take it away. I feel like you have to.
Well, this is the one that seems a little concerning, I guess. But, you got to wait and see. But he said something about her being more cynical because I think she's. And it makes sense from what he's talking about because she's there on Krypton. She sees the whole thing fall apart. She sees the ineffectiveness of the leadership. She sees the planet blow up, and then she has to chase Kal-El to this weird new home world. So, and she gets there after him.
Robbing her of her purpose.
A lot of things have gone wrong for her. So in a way, that does make sense, but I don't, you know, super family to me doesn't, should not be super cynical. But
that's not one of those superpowers.
Could you do one that's good? Maybe, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the elements are there. So I think if you build it the right way, yeah, absolutely.
Again, I think it's one of those cases where putting it in contrast to the Supergirl that we got several seasons of on CW is, you know, I understand wanting to draw a line and right. like make it a distinct sort of thing.
Yeah. And if you're going to have a Superman who is cheery and bright, you don't want to have the same thing. Oh, but she's, right. but it's a girl.
Yeah.
Hit both beats. Yeah.
Yeah. And in fact, maybe that's an opportunity for him to not reform her, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, make his own.
Drink some big happy cousin energy to
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so long as she's not like laser beaming people in the face, you know.
Yeah, I mean, right. cynical doesn't mean.
Right. It doesn't mean like, violent. It doesn't mean Black Adam.
Violent.
Doesn't,
you know, yeah, I mean, I think, right. Yeah. I don't know what the. I mean, I think there have been a number of origins, different kinds of origins in the comic books for her. But, you know, if you take a look at the one on the show, which is probably the only one that I know with any depth at all. Mm-hmm. She comes to it kind of late, right? I mean, she's got she gets to Earth. It's like Kal-El's already like older than you, so he doesn't need your help. So she just goes about having a regular human life, and you know, gets a job where she's like getting people coffee and stuff like that. So she has, she could have reason to be like not like reticent to become a superhero. Like she doesn't see the point. There's already him. I mean, like, you know, right. like, you know, the heck with all this, because
yeah, like she's
I tried so hard and everything worked against me. So why bother?
Yeah. She's been robbed of purpose. And then that can often give people, anybody, like a, well, why am I doing this anymore? Like, I guess I'll just phone everything in sort of thing.
This run, by the way, was written by Tom King, the in the comics, Woman of Tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Tom King also, I believe, wrote the Vision the Vision series talked about.
Well, that's good series.
Yeah,
I mean, and this guy is I believe Tom King has also been tapped. James Gunn mentioned him being one of the people working, basically one of the writers working on a lot of the DCU stuff.
Hmm.
Okay, so. And this is a recent run. This just ended last year.
Wow.
And I was just seeing there is a review of it that describes it as somebody writing for Polygon says, with the final issue of Supergirl, one of Tomorrow, I can definitively say this book slaps front to back, applying Sandman vibes to Space Adventurer starring Supergirl and a plucky young space child. It's like, all right, well, it's hard to... You're mentioning lots of things I like, so yeah, maybe I'll have to go find this. I have to do a subscribe to whatever the DC service is and read some of these runs. Maybe that's a future episode.
Right. Does DC have a service, or is it like
they
have some weak service, right? Like it doesn't have as much as like Marvel Unlimited does. Okay. I think.
No, but I think they've beefed it up considerably. Okay. It's gotten better, is my understanding. But I haven't. It's been a while since I checked it out.
Yeah, we also haven't talked about the sad apparent demise of Comixology, but whatever. We're running out of time. Yeah.
Right.
Couple other film titles happening. The Authority. Which is a Wildstorm imprint that they're merging. And it's something I've been meaning to read for a long time.
Wildstorm was like
for a long time.
Yeah, Wildstorm was DC's
like Vertigo?
Pouches and Bullets version of
it originated as it was part of DC. It was like another imprint by DC.
Yeah, it was an imprint from DC. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was like 90s.
Every time I saw it on the shelf, I didn't know that. I always thought it was like another, you know.
It was briefly because it's so it was run. It was founded by Jim Lee. It was founded by Jim Lee and then became a publishing imprint of DC in 99. But it was like. Yeah, I think Wildcats and Stormwatch were a couple of the big
original. Yeah. It was akin to Todd McFarlane's spinoff thing that has Spawn and a bunch of other stuff.
All right, so it did start independently, though.
Yes, briefly, it looks like, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, for a while. Maybe 7 or 8 years, it looks like.
Yeah. Anyway, I think I bought one or two and was never really like, it just doesn't seem.
It's, like I said, to me, it's in the Pouches and Bullets vein of like comic booking, you know. if Sandman and I forget the imprint that they made for Sandman, I'm totally going to blank on it, but like Sandman and Constantine and Shade the Changing Man, there was a bunch of stuff under like a specific imprint of DC. Vertigo, that was it. The Vertigo books were sort of more intellectual, artsy, erudite take on comics. These ones were sort of the antithesis of that. It was like, you know,
we'll punch them up.
Yeah. Well, like, what if we made comics in the vein of like, like Schwarzenegger movies, you know, like
that 90s. Like I mean, I always tried to, I think I said this before, but like, I tried to get Hank into that 90s. I had never seen it, X-Men show. And I know a lot of people have a lot of nostalgia for that show. But when I tried to watch that, it was just like, it was so many lasers.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, there's so many laser battles in this show. Why?
Yeah. It was very.
Lasers were cheap.
Very
lasers
G.I. Joe.
Like, when I think of the X-Men comic books, I don't think about people shooting lasers other than Cyclops.
Oh, so many lasers.
No,
so
I was too old for that. So, I don't know. Dan, you were the sweet spot, right?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched. That was my introduction to the X-Men, probably. Yeah. I read the comics afterwards, but that was a big thing when I was in. Yeah. Middle school, I guess.
I just can't get
I get it because I watched Scooby-Doo as a kid.
Sure.
And when I introduced Hank to Scooby-Doo, we started watching it together, and I was like, oh my God, these are terrible.
Yeah.
Nostalgia is a hell of a drug.
It really is.
We got a few more things. We got to run a little low on time, so we'll zip
through
some of these.
Well, maybe we can do this as a two-parter, so... If there's anything you've
we haven't even touched on the TV
There's a lot,
stuff,
so exactly,
maybe maybe we'll save that for a future one. The Authority, I don't know much about. No, I mean, it's been recommended to me for many, many years, and I just haven't gotten around to reading it. I mean, it's been around for more than 20 years.
Yeah. There's a reasonably good
sort of
animated
Justice
sort of
League
take on it.
Pastiche sort of thing.
It is the Justice League if... I'm trying to come up with a way to say this that's not relevant to
inside the world's like
it's
kind of needs to be fixed or something.
Yeah, it is a Justice League that it is an interfering god. It's a pantheon of interfering gods rather than sort of the gods that swoop in to save the day. It's more like we're going to proactively we're just going to kill people. Like that, you know, you're a bad guy, you're this much of a bad guy, we're just going to kill you. That's it. No more going to jail, Joker, for like the 100th time kind of thing. And it's an idea that's been explored a lot. But I think it's particularly pretty well done, partially because they start to get a lot of, if I'm remembering correctly, they get a lot of support from civilians. Because it's like...
Yeah.
Again, I don't want to touch on any politics, but it's like, we got to stick it to these guys kind of thing. And that is an interesting dynamic to sort of explore where you've got, the Justice League, like the Holy Trinity of DC kind of thing versus like this sort of not really a dark mirror version, but like an alternate take on what would it be if there was a different approach to doing this form of not policing, superheroing, you know, like the. What does it mean to be a superhero? And I think Kingdom Come also explored that quite a bit, which is another comic we haven't really talked about, but it's really great.
I have read.
Yeah. But you know what I mean, Dan? Like that
yeah,
vibe.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, I think this is the most interesting part of this in some ways is the fact that they are bringing this into the mainstream DCU continuity because I'm curious to know how these end up interacting with, you know... the rest of our the more clearly known heroes. I think this is a thing that MCU has struggled with in trying to do stuff like the Eternals, right? It's like we've got a whole team of superheroes and we're gonna throw them in with all our existing superheroes that you already know, and it's like most people are not familiar with the Authority, and I don't know how do you put them in there as is it as antagonists or as sort of like like a comparison to your Supermans and your Batman, are they sort of pushing back against what the Authority represents? I don't know. I'm intrigued by that idea.
Yeah, what's the guy's name that was on Superman that then went on to be on Star Trek? Because I got one in there, Discovery. I'm going to blank on the guy's name. He was on Supergirl. Something black, like black.
Oh yeah,
Manchester Black. Nope.
Manchester Black.
Is it Manchester?
Yeah. Is he? That's not the actor, but that's the character.
Is it Manchester? Okay, it makes sense. Yes. Like rough and tumble Northern England city. Right. Sure, Manchester Black. He, there's a cartoon version with him and a similar bunch of people. Is he from The Authority? I'm blanking now. I'm getting it all mixed up.
Manchester Black.
Yeah,
I don't. No, I don't think so. I think he's a mainline DCU character. Okay.
But they have a similar story with him in an animated movie, sort of doing this alternate take on superhero team kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm intrigued about to see The Authority. I am. What else is left? Because basically, I'm feeling like this is a pretty broad spectrum of stuff that is so far being proposed, and it feels a little less directed and in some ways a little catch-up. Like, Marvel started with, like, okay, let's do Iron Man. Beast, well, he was a B character at the time. And then Cap. And then what? Hulk.
Hulk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, they built slowly, and I feel like DC or James Gunn maybe feels a little pressured to be like, okay, we've got to do a lot of stuff at once because that's the kind of thing that's expected as output, you know?
And also interesting in this is what's not here, right? Because Superman and Batman are both getting reboots. Wonder Woman, not present.
Yeah.
Who's probably the third largest.
Said that they were interested in bringing Gal Gadot.
So this Wonder Woman project on the...
Yeah. Apparently, Gunn and Peter Safran stated the door is always open for Gal Gadot, Jason Momoa, Zachary Levi, and Ezra Miller to continue playing the characters.
But there's a show featuring.
There's a show.
There is a show, yeah, which I thought we haven't jumped to yet. But there is. That is one question: is that how closely is that tied, or does that set the stage for them to reboot Wonder Woman if they decide? They may have just sort of tabled it, being like, "Hey, we've got a show coming, and if we decide we want to use that to reboot Wonder Woman, we'll just do that.
We want to go after that."
Yeah.
Manchester Black. Yeah. Manchester Black is.
He does crossover.
He started in Action Comics, but then he was later part of the Authority.
I'm not totally bananas.
No, right.
Okay,
you're both wrong.
Oh, good. Okay.
Wow, that must feel so satisfying, John.
It really did, actually.
Yeah. let's save any of the TV stuff for next week. I also kind of want to save the one of the things I'm most excited for next week, which is Swamp Thing, which is that a movie? It's a movie. Swamp Thing movie, a horror movie, we're told. I dig that idea.
Which it should be.
Yep, exactly.
I think that makes sense. And, you know, as we've talked about with Marvel, it's probably good to do some different genres because otherwise you're just chunking out these hit 'em up movies that end with a big battle. And after a while, people get tired of that.
Yeah. And I do think that the inclusion of this one, which I guess, we'll talk about more next week, they are projecting or sort of slowly communicating or quietly communicating, I think, that they are willing to experiment with tone in a way that Marvel maybe isn't. Marvel's got a pretty big formula, so much so that, like, She-Hulk can show up and, like, there's literally a robot kicking out the formula. and the inclusion of Swamp Thing and, you know, some of the other stuff makes me feel like they will have a broader experimentation with tonality, and especially they've got Elseworlds, which also lets them do stuff totally differently without ruining like a sort of a cohesive whole. So I'm pretty curious to see how it all ties together. I do think it is going to skew a little bit more angsty. I keep using angsty as like a catch-all.
That's not the right word.
It's the wrong word.
Because I mean, I would not describe Peacemaker as angsty.
No, I don't. I don't want to call it mature.
I think to a large degree, they're getting rid of the angsty stuff. I mean, like the Snyder stuff was very angsty.
Yeah,
so was Titans, right?
This feels more, I don't know, morally complex or something.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's
it's, Right. I mean, it's also a little more adult.
Yeah, but I don't like using that term so much because I think it got muddied for me in the 90s when it was like adult. Yeah, just means like now we're going to, swear, have weird sexual situations and like women in refrigerators and like, you know, machine guns and like a bunch of stuff that's like, that's not mature. There's not. Mature is Andor. Andor is mature as hell.
Right. Yeah.
A lot of that is just.
Yeah, it doesn't quite work either. Yeah. But yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's for grown-ups?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's tricky too because you gotta, it may be for grown-ups, but also like your appeal has to be broad in some ways, right? Yeah. I mean, Marvel,
you gotta get that four
quadrant thing, Marvel has kind of nailed that, right? Yeah. They've got everybody. Whereas you can't make it too far, but I think you're right that they're willing to push the envelope a little bit. Like making Swamp Thing a horror movie does move it out of the realm of we're appealing to kids.
It's a terrifying concept, right? Like man turns into a moss beast, basically. And I kind of like that TV show that they did. It was pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't great the first episode, but it was not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's an interesting slate of projects to start with, right? Because like we were just saying, it's not starting with just like, hey, let's knock out the hits. Like, let's paint by numbers and say we've got to establish the Justice League and let's hit the biggest,
And I like it that they show they're doing their homework too, right? I mean, they show the math, how they got to where they think they're going. And that's, they've done it correctly. So that's reassuring.
Yep.
Yeah, and a couple other facts that Gunn brought up that I think is really interesting. Having the same actors play people in TV, movies, and animation, I think he made a big deal out of that.
Yeah, well, that's just because
those are going to be some.
Yeah, I mean, he just wants contracts. He just wants to throw his wife and his brother some more gigs. keep that DC money.
I saw a lot of headlines of people supposedly upset about the nepotism of him casting his wife.
Shut up.
And I was just like, it was really obnoxious.
Whatever. Jackass is going to jackass. Yeah. Who cares? Whatever. She's great.
She's good. If she was super bad, then she's terrible, then it would be one thing, but she's good. So, it's like there's no nepotism in Hollywood. I mean, it doesn't even have to be like related. I mean, there's so much nepotism in Hollywood that's just friends based.
Yeah.
Not like podcasting.
Well, I was just about to say it's like that in it's like that in a lot of venues.
It's weirdly enough, people like working with their friends. It's strange. What was the other thing I was gonna say in addition to the people around, they're using the same cast, I think is really interesting. They also did not mention, and this is I don't know, this is not something they're working on, but like they didn't target a direct sort of team up thing in the same way the MCU did, right? Where the MCU is like, okay, we're building to the Avengers. It's pretty clear because if you look at the slate of characters we've got, they're all Avengers.
Mm-hmm. I think that
this is not building towards another Justice League, and I think in part because they want to get away.
Yeah, I think it did them a disservice last time.
Yeah,
they were like, okay, let's build up to it, and then okay, panic, let's just rush into it, and that just didn't work. No, like nobody cared about any of these characters, really.
Yep.
So whatever. I kind of cared about Alfred. He was okay. He had one of those sweaters that my dad likes to wear because he has, would like to be a British commando at some point, which is not going to happen in his 70s.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah. Like with the patches on the shoulder and
the patches and the like corded.
I had one of those. I used to wear one of those a lot. I got over that phase of my life. I would.
Well, after your stint in the British Commandos, obviously.
I can't talk about that.
Yeah, no, that's fair. All right. Well, like we said, we covered a lot of the film stuff. There's a bunch of TV stuff that was also announced. We don't have time to discuss that today, but we will come back to discuss that more in the future because, heck, we're not doing anything else.
What we're here for.
As for a letter, we have discussed watching Extraordinary, and I'm going to go give it a shot.
Yes.
Thanks to
Reader Steve. Yeah, because I have watched most of the first episode. I would have finished it by now, except for a technical problem I had where the sound was not coming out of Hulu for some reason. But I really enjoyed it. It's filthy, but it's very funny. So
I dig it. Sounds good. I will
put it on my
side. And yeah, we've been sort of, whatever, not having a lot to cover has spaced stuff out. Plus, you know, holiday season, a bunch of other life stuff has been going on. But yeah, I mean, honestly, if we watch Stargirl for a while, I don't think this is Stargirl. But I am eager to explore new stuff. And this comes pretty highly recommended, especially with, you know, Maltz's imprimatur. How do you say that word, Dan?
That was correct.
On part of an episode, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you like it, sure. It'll be fun. I'm super willing to check it out.
At the very least, we'll cover the first part of the episode. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's it. I'm at wit's end. That's another thing Dan made fun of me for. I put wit, W-H-I-T. If you're going to pull
out everything I make fun of you about, then we're going
to
be here all day.
I just wanted to bookend the episode with grievances, Dan.
The bi-weekly airing of the grievances. Fortnightly,
A new segment.
Fortnightly. Ouch.
All right. A lot more to come. We'll surely be talking about this and, of course, whatever is next in the MCU, which is Ant-Man Quantumania comes out in about 2 weeks. Yeah. I don't know when we'll get to see it, but we will definitely talk about it at some point. Yeah. Until then, I want to say thanks to everybody for listening. As always, you can send us letters, biff@theincomparable.com. We're also on Mastodon, BiffCast.
At Mastodon.social.
At Mastodon.social. That's the place you can hit us up if you got some thoughts you want to share, some comments, questions, we'll answer them. And of course, I would like to thank my fantastic co-host for being here, John Maltz. Always a pleasure.
I'm glad this is not an angsty podcast.
I can't believe you would say that. Guy English.
I feel like I do my best to try to stick a stick in the spokes there and make it a little bit angsty. But yeah, me too. I'm really glad. Hey, and congrats, Dan, on your appearance on the talk show. That was far too long, but you did a great job.
So,
yeah.
Good.
No, sorry. It was far too long for John to get around inviting you on the show. I don't know why I hadn't done that. But anyway, great job.
It's all right. We've only known each other for 15 years. Thank you, everybody out there, for listening. We'll be back and see you next time.
Boom. 4:30 on the dot. Look up Pro.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
I will put Extraordinary on my list.